In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a great song by Tom Waits called Please Call Me Baby. Not Please Call Me Baby, Please Call Me, comma, Baby. Where he sings, I wish to God you'd leave me, and I wish to God you'd stay. It's a great song. And if I ever relearn how to play the piano, it will be one of the first songs on my to relearn list. Waits is one of the great lyricists of our time, and I love this line especially because it's completely illogical and yet weirdly true. And it's not just romantic relationships that can sometimes cause us to want to say to our partner, I wish to God you'd leave me and I wish to God you'd stay. It's not just in the often confusing realm of romance that our minds go a bit haywire and think things that seem utterly nonsensical. Often in this life, we want something and we don't want it at the same time. It's very strange and totally human. Today we hear Jesus himself, fully human as he was, sounding totally human. He says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. In other words, Jesus is saying, something big is coming, and I wish it were already here. And in the very next breath, this thing that is coming is tormenting my soul. I wish it weren't coming. Comedian Stephen Wright, whom I've quoted once before from this pulpit, said, I bought a dog the other day and I named him Stay. It's fun to call him. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay. He went insane. Poor dog. But poor us. How often in this life do we want something to arrive that we don't want to arrive? Graduation. A new job. A wedding. A performance. Come here, stay. In his case, the stakes for Jesus couldn't be higher. Jesus yearns to complete his saving mission on this earth, but he knows what it will cost him. And he knows that following in his path may well cost his followers. He says, "Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided." Now, he's not telling his followers, hey, guys, go out and find some division, make some strife, preferably in your own family. This isn't a recommendation. It's an observation. Besides being the greatest teacher, Jesus was also a great observer. And here he observes, and he warns his followers that if they stand by him, if they insist on following him, his teachings, his example, there may well be strife in their very own families. Now, perhaps that risk was greater back in his own day. Perhaps in the year 2013 in the state of Rhode Island, if you go into your parents' room and say, Mom, Dad, I've decided to follow Jesus, it's not going to get you grounded. Not in most families. But over the centuries, not just in the first century, but straight through to the 21st, those who committed themselves fully to the gospel of Jesus Christ often bought themselves a world of trouble. From Martin Luther to Martin Luther King. So why did they do it? Why did they want to follow that path when they knew what stress it would cause in their lives and what division it could cause to their families? Why did all those Christian men and women follow Jesus when they knew full well what the price might be? Because they could see the other side. And the other side was absolutely beautiful. It doesn't matter if they didn't get there themselves. St. Paul talks this morning about all those saintly men and women who followed in the way of the Lord, and says of them, all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. Moses never set foot in the promised land, but his people did. But Moses saw it, and he could see in his mind's eye what it would be like for his people to come home to the land of Abraham and Sarah, of Isaac and Rebekah, of Jacob and Rachel. Martin Luther King Jr. never walked in the land that he dreamed of either. And Lord knows, the night he delivered his final speech, he had every right to be stressed. He knew the risk he took in preaching the gospel. He said that night in Memphis, we've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't really matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. St. Paul says this morning, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For all those who call Jesus Lord, the joy that is set before us is not riches or honor or anything along those lines. The joy that is set before us and for which we live through stress and division and all the other nastiness the world can throw at us, that joy set before us is to be even the smallest part of the building up of God's kingdom on this earth. Very few of us will do what Martin Luther or Martin Luther King did. But we can all lend our hearts and our hand to that great work of Christ. You've already done it in ways large and small. And with God's grace and the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you'll keep on doing it. We will run the race that is set before each of us, looking to Jesus who beckons us on to that beautiful land, where he will welcome us all into the fullness of God's kingdom. Amen.